Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, March 11th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 83, the fourth paragraph down, beginning with the third sentence. We will not regret the past, through two sentences ending with, and we will know peace. And the comments are on just those two sentences. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy B., the 12 Traditions, Robin B., and the readers of the text are Alex K., Dana P., and Chanel T. The share ID from Monday, yesterday, March 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,237. That's 22237. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, March 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 22,239. That's 22239. The newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Leslie M., and thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oklahoma. These are the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. And I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. This is Robin B., an Ohio compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone could share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. Remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 83, the fourth paragraph down, beginning with the third sentence, "We will not regret the past," through two sentences ending with and we will know peace. The comments are on those two sentences only, and I will ask Alex K. to get us started. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend serenity, and we will know peace. Comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. I used to have a lot of regrets about my past and didn't want to think about it and about all the mistakes, as I saw it, that I had made and how I had wasted so much of my life and not accomplished anything. And I'd ruminate over situations about what I could have, would have, should have done differently, never satisfied, always finding fault with myself and with life. And today my thinking has been changed. I'm much more accepting of myself and of life, and I don't waste so much time and energy regretting what's over that I can't change or wishing it had been different. And I have more compassion for my mistakes and struggles and can see them as learning experiences and part of my growth and recovery. One thing I used to regret a lot was all the time I was in the throes of this disease and all the pain and of fighting compulsive eating. But now it's just part of my story, the path that got me to where I am today. And I'm really grateful that I'm where I am today, no longer suffering and struggling in this disease. And all I went through is now an asset in helping others who are struggling. As for serenity and peace, I thought I could only have those if everything in my life was going well, if I had no problems or challenges. But one of the wonderful parts of recovery is that I can have serenity anytime, regardless of what's going on around me, because it's not dependent on external circumstances. It's a gift from my higher power, and it's always available to me. When I rely on my higher power for my serenity, I have more of it. I have a sense of well-being and peace of mind. Even if I'm going through something difficult or painful, I can still feel peaceful, knowing I'm never alone. My higher power is always with me, and that together we can go through whatever life brings. I so appreciate that gift of equanimity and balance. With my higher power, there are no big deals. In the past, everything was a big deal. I felt like I couldn't cope. Any little challenge felt like the end of the world. But with my higher power, there really are no big deals, just life on life terms, and all is well. I'm always okay, no matter what. Thanks, everyone, for being here and helping me with my recovery today.
Well, thank you very much, Alex K., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, again, we were on page 83, the fourth paragraph down, beginning with the third sentence. We will not regret the past through two sentences, ending with, and we will know peace. And so who would like to share this morning?
Wendy B.
Rachel L.
I got Wendy B. Who was after Wendy?
Rachel L.
Rachel R.
L.
Oh, L. Rachel L. L.
Yes.
Gotcha, Rachel, sorry.
It's okay.
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
Lauren Grace B. Gotcha, Lauren. I have Wendy B., Rachel L., Lauren Grace B. Anyone else in this group? Okay. Wendy, get us started. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And thank you so much for that lead share. So having serenity and peace around things I've done in the past, you know, it's just such a miracle. You know, I don't have to continue to try to hide my past mistakes and my errors in judgment and the chaos I've created, you know, by living in my disease. You know, I don't need to sweep it under the rug or shut the door on the mess so no one will see it. You know, I can come clean with my mistakes, you know, without condemnation and judgment. You know, and there's grace to learn from them. And, you know, the fear of punishment, you know, is lifted. And I'm not bad. You know, I'm just a human being who isn't perfect, you know, and I'm allowed to make mistakes. And, you know, and just that God's grace, you know, that he uses my mistakes. You know, he weaves them into the tapestry of my life and turns it into good, you know, as I am, you know, humble and open and transparent about my mistakes, you know, I become relatable to others. And, you know, what I'm learning, you know, can be an example to others. And sometimes, you know, it's an example of how to grow and change. And sometimes it's an example of, you know, the negative consequences, you know, to try to avoid next time. And, you know, and just there's serenity and peace that comes when I'm no longer resisting and fighting and trying to hide from reality and trying to hide from consequences, you know, just embracing truth as much as I am able, you know, as my denial lifts, it does set me free to live in contentment and peace. And I just am so grateful. And thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Rachel L., followed by Lauren Grace B. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel L., compulsive overeater, official from San Diego, California. And I used to live in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I wish I did this. I wish I did that, you know, from in my past. And, you know, I can't you know, undo the past. I can't undo what I already did. And I, you know, I say now that if all my embarrassing moments, if it can help someone, I will scream it from the rooftops. And I am so happy that yesterday, you know, I've done some pretty bad stuff in my past and some embarrassing stuff in the past with food. And I was actually able to help, you know, a kid yesterday with something I did with food, and you know, she's doing it now, and I was able to help her, you know, not hopefully not do it anymore. And I said, you know, I was talking with a friend, and he told me, you know, hopefully you could help her, you know, not do it anymore. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll scream it from the rooftops, you know, to help somebody, even though it's one of my most embarrassing moments. And I said, and I was talking to my roommate, you know, he has a couple kids, and that's 3 years old and 12 years old. And I said, you know what? I want to be the adult that I didn't have. I want to be the adult that should have been there for me when I was 3 years old and 12 years old. So I want to be that adult because I didn't have a role model. I didn't have someone telling me stay in school, do this, you know, not do this, do that, but you know what I mean? Be a good role model. So I want to be that kid, that adult for these kids, you know, because they come hang out with me, and the minute they come home, you know, into the house, they run in my room and say hi, and I hang out with them for the weekend, and it's just like, I want to put some knowledge in their head, and it's just like, because I know what I did as a kid, I know what I was doing at 12 years old, and it's just, I don't want, you know, any kid to go through what I went through at 12 and 14 and all of that stuff, and if I could stop that from happening for another child, that would be pretty awesome. So if I could just spread some wisdom and some knowledge to another kid, you know, again, I will scream my embarrassing, most embarrassing moments from the freaking rooftops. And I'm stopping with the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, you know. So with that, I will pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Rachel L. from California. Before I take Lauren Grace B., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 83. The fourth paragraph down, beginning with the third sentence, we will not regret the past through two sentences ending with, and we will know peace. Comments are on those two sentences. And after Lauren Grace, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Lauren Grace.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Lauren Grace B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And Lauren is L-O-R-E-N. Thank you. You know, I have to say, in my worst moments, I do still regret my past. And mostly what I regret is the way I treated my children. They were all clothed, fed, well-educated. And I misguidedly thought I was doing what was the best thing for them. Our home was legalistic instead of loving. And, you know, we put rules ahead of relationships. And we obeyed the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law, which is the law of love. And I would go back and change it if I could. I've made amends to them. I make living amends to them by being loving now. But what I remember in my better moments is that I have to surrender my understanding about this. This whole situation is bigger than me. I don't understand why God allowed it. I thought I was doing the right thing, and I look back and I can see that it was not the right thing at all. And I chose to do it. And so surrendering my understanding is a step of faith. That's step three for me, within in the middle of step nine, that I just surrender to God that this happened and that I'm going to do better. And I also surrender the idea that this was not what was best for all of us, because for some reason, God allowed it to happen. So that means that it was the best. And I have to trust God, even when I don't understand why things were the way they were. And my kids carry scars from it. I have to trust that this is part of their journey and mine. And that today things are very different. And my relationships with them are different for the most part. We have many kids, and all my relationships with them are amicable, and some of them are very close. And I am just so grateful that God, on a daily basis, gives me beauty for ashes and heals all our hearts. And that's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren. Did you say your first name is spelled L-L-R-E-N?
L-O-R-E-N.
Oh, L-O-R-E-N. Okay, I thought so. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two sentences?
Christine B., California.
Christine B.
Mary C., Ohio.
Mary C. Ohio. I have Christine B. and Mary C. Who else?
Malka S.
Malka S. Anybody else? I got three here. I got Christine B., Mary C., and Malka S. All right, let's go with those. We'll start with Christine B. Good morning, Christine B.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I don't know much, but I knew my past was the reason I needed to be in OA. I knew when I was struggling towards the end of 2023, a diet wasn't going to help what was in my head and my soul. And I had really had done some horrible things. And I somehow, in my core, I knew there is nobody to blame. And I just didn't know how to reconcile it. How do I explain the unconscionable? How can I make this something where I could still be whole? And I'm not even talking about being a good person, just being somebody would even want to talk to or even have a relationship with in any fashion, like friendship, romance, what have you. It's that past that has given me some things that are still developing. One that I have a higher power who has grace. I have done some really crap things, but for whatever reason, no egregious harm has happened to me. I have harmed others, and I am working on making my amends. I have made some amends, and some will be lifelong amends. But for whatever reason, my higher power sought that I should be okay for the most part. And then I realized the other thing, the gifts I've received in this program, the generosity of fellow members' time, hearing me out, probably people I've held hostage to my blatherings that I, apologies, but I realized I've passed and I've heard it said in the meetings, might be my greatest asset. Like if somebody else is feeling low down, bottom, wow, how do I ever get out from underneath the shame? Maybe I'm your person to talk to. I would like to be. I would like to think that my garbage past somehow could be useful in some way. And maybe I shouldn't call it a garbage past. It was just some really crappy things I did. I guess I'm going to stop there. Again, I love this program so much, and I hope everybody has a great day and with the past. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Christine B. from California. Up next is Mary C., followed by Malka S., and after Malka, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Mary C., from Ohio. Oh, wow. This really brings up a lot for me. You know, I do regret some of my past and how I treated my mom. I really did not treat her well. And, the biggest thing was I found out after my mom passed that I was adopted and I did not know. And I've held that against her for so long. And she's been gone for so many years. And I've done two four steps over it, and I think I have released it because, you know what, she didn't know any better. She did what she thought was right. But God gave me a second chance to make up for how I treated my mom because I did not treat her well at all, especially in her final years. And I met my birth mother, And I was able to treat her the way I wanted to treat my mom, that I should have treated my mom. And I am so blessed that I had a second chance of doing that. And now God's given me a third chance. And that is by coming into OA and forgiving myself, because that's basically who I have a lot of regrets against is myself. And that's the bottom line. And it's, I think, the hardest person to forgive is yourself. And that's what I'm working on now, is forgiving myself each and every day for my past. And I think I'm going to end it there. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Mary C. from Ohio. Before I take Malka, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 85. Page 84. Page 83. Third paragraph down. It begins with, "We will not regret the past," through two sentences, and it ends with, "We will know peace." And after Malka, I'll take another lineup of names. So good morning, Malka. Press star 1 to unmute, Malka.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can now, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
My service is a little fuzzy. Thank you so much, Mel, for your service. Malka Salt. Living in multiple overeater. So strong. Not shutting the door on my past. There have been moments of intense joy and intense struggles in my past. And I feel like I'm growing a lot through working the steps in ways that I've never grown before. I've never looked at my past in this way before. And this concept of like having no regrets, like that's something I've been telling myself for a really, really long time. I heard it once when I was very young, and it resonated, and I was like, my regrets, no regrets. And I know that I can only move forward. And the only thing I can do with my past is to use it to see where more healing needs to be done. I can look at my past lovingly, with a forgiving heart, and I could see myself, as a misguided young girl who needs a loving parent, who needs someone who understands her. And as an adult now, I can be that loving parent. I can be that mature adult for her. I can use the past as a springboard for more and more healing, and with my food and with just my whole life, because these principles do apply to our whole lives, and it's a very holistic healing experience for me. I'm grateful, and I'm grateful that I can come here every single day and just keep moving forward, and with no regrets. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, Malka S. from Mexico. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two sentences? AJ3, we will not regret the past. Yes, who's this? Yes.
Sorry for interrupting you, Mo. This is Larry G, California.
Larry, okay. Okay, got you, Larry.
Roz G.
Freya H.
Gary K.
Okay, we've got a good, nice lineup there. Larry G, Roz G, Freya H, and Gary K. Anyone else? Okay, so everyone mute except my friend Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. My name's Larry G, and I'm from California. And Mo, we have to recruit a Curly, then we'll be complete.
I know.
The trio will be complete. I just love everybody on this call. The shares are so rich, and I just identify with everyone. When I came to a vision for you in May of 2020, I didn't do a lot of wreckage. There was not a lot of wreckage I had to clean up. I had a loving relationship with my wife. I was respectful. We were kind, loving to each other. I'm a good father, good family member. And the reason, even though I was about 100 pounds overweight and was destroying myself with food, the reason my life was not completely destroyed was because I'm in two other fellowships. I'm in Debtors Anonymous and AA, and I continue to work my program in those two fellowships. And I was participating in OA. It got me to where I am. I don't regret that. But I'll tell you, the person I hurt the most was myself. Obviously physically, I was 300 pounds. I was walking at times 7 to 8 miles, and it was just like bone crushing. You know, I ended up destroying my left knee, eventually had to have my knee replaced, which is one of the best things I ever did, by the way. But what I really hurt was myself. I lost all those beautiful moments, memories, at a time that I'll never get back. I ate in isolation. I didn't eat compulsively with family. People was wondering why I was gaining so much weight, because when I would be with family, I would eat like a normal human being until I was on my own. But physically, I destroyed myself. Spiritually, yes. I was bankrupt when I came into Vision for You. And what I really know today is this is what it took for me to have a very close relationship with a power greater than myself, a relationship that I don't understand, a relationship that I can't see or taste or touch or hear. It's all in faith. Faith without works is dead. But I have this faith today, it's unshakable. And when I collapsed in May 2020, when I came to a vision for you, one of the things I said is, I can't do another day without you, God. And I've pretty much, I'm not perfect. I maybe will do my 11th step 6 days a week. Sometimes I'll miss a couple. I'm not perfect. I go out thinking about God, but I can tell you right now that I have a relationship with a higher power I've never had before. And if all those moments and memories that I lost led up to that, then I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be where I am today. And with that, I pass back to you, Mo. Thank you for moderating.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Up next is Roz G., followed by Freya H. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Roz G., compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and I'm recovered. I have neutrality towards food. Although I do love it, I do love food, and I do love eating, and I look forward to my meals. I didn't really want to share. I haven't felt like sharing today. Or I didn't feel like sharing today because I've been kind of on an emotional hangover for a few days. And I'm doing all the tools. I'm doing the program. I'm doing the deal. You know how you see that thing from AA, doing the deal? I'm doing the deal. Every day I live these steps. I live by spiritual principles. I'm not perfect at it, but sometimes something will come at me and it hurts. And when I think about the past, my past has helped hundreds of people. I can't count how many people I sponsored. I don't even know anymore because sometimes it doesn't work out, or sometimes it works out, or sometimes they go off and do something else. But I've taken lots of people through the steps, and I have examples of pain in every step on every page in this big book. You know, the first 164 pages, I can think of an anecdotal experience to bring to the table, either in a meeting or working with a sponsee, or just talking through 10 steps, you know? And I need to just say I'm grateful for my past. It is an asset to me because I can help somebody else. It, you know, when I hear people, mostly through church, talking about how good it is and how they do this and this and this, and it's been so great, and I've had, you know, I was raised in this kind of home and met this guy through Bible college, and we did all this, and we've got a, you know, never exchanged a harsh, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it, and I just think it's hogwash. I would rather hear your crap because then I can identify. And how did you get out of it? You know, how did you get out of it? So I've been on a little bit of depressed for the past 3 days. How am I getting out of it? I'm attending meetings. I'm doing 10 steps. I'm helping others. I'm getting out of myself and making outreach calls. And it's been very helpful. So I don't regret the things I've done in my past. They help others, and I am enjoying these promises, even sometimes when I'm feeling a little low. So I'm going to go ahead and pass, and thank you for letting me share and for your service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from California. Up next is Freya H., followed by Gary K. Good morning, Freya.
Hi, good morning. This is Curly from California. Just kidding. It's Freya H. I'm very grateful, recovered severe bulimic restrictor, and I'm in Colorado. I'm not going to regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. That, to me, was like the promise that I knew that I needed. I was like, really? Really? Like, you can make this happen? Because I thought that was really the easier, softer way. It was like, just shut the door on it. Like, let's just not go there. I'm just going to focus on being this new, perfect recovered Freya instead of like that old one, you know, like that was my attitude toward myself in my first several years of recovery. It was just like, I don't want to do that. So I learned that I needed to progress with these steps and, you know, actually go through it, actually face that stuff. Because what I wanted to do was I just wanted to like, hold my breath and like get it over with this whole recovery thing. And I remember approaching my 8-step list and just being like, I just want to like hold my breath and just be like, okay, I'll do it, but I just don't want to be present with it. And I kind of admitted that to my sponsor, and she said to me, she's like, Freya, this is not a checklist. You know, recovery is not a checklist. It's an experience, and that experience requires you to be present. Because that is where your higher power is. That she said that to me, because that has stuck with me and has come up so many times, you know, that I have to be present for this, because there are no promises if I'm not present for it. You know, if I just have this checklist where I get to live in this, you know, self-induced false ease and comfort, it's like that there's no God in that, you know? So, the last thing I want to say about this is regretting the past for me included not just the things that I did or the things that I perceived that I did, but also just accepting that circumstances were what they were. You know, so a lot of step 8 and 9 involves forgiveness of others, you know, which means that I'm no longer holding on to this idea that it should have been different, if only this, blah, 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 blah. That like I'm coming to peace. It's like I'm letting go, and I'm letting myself really trust, like, God, I guess you were there the whole time. I guess you've carried me through. And that's how I try to live today. It's like God, you know, life is beautiful and life is incredibly painful and God is in all of it. So who am I to judge? Who am I to regret? Who am I want to shut the door on it? Because I don't want to miss every experience that God is offering. So I only shared on half of it, but I think that's enough. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Freya H. from Colorado. Next is Gary K., and after Gary, I can take another couple, two more people. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Gary K. in San Luis Obispo, California. Great to hear from all of you. I have to be careful about these regrets. To me, I was just thinking, for me, it seems like maybe it's like an addiction. I'm just going from, you know, one addiction to another in terms of the regrets, if that makes any sense, because my past regrets, you know, distant past regrets, have been replaced by my current present regrets. And the reason why I bring this up, because my girlfriend and I, we've been together 12 years, we decided it would be better to live apart and still be together. But the issue is, now I'm focusing on the regrets I've had with her in the past 12 years. And I know being in program and all that, that's not a safe place to be. And I even sometimes wonder, it's like, is it part of the disease, you know, or does it even matter? Because to me, it just seems like it's just an addiction, you know, it's a habit that I go to. So, you know, because right now I want to just, I'm a good little blamer. I want to blame her for my behavior and how this and that. And so I just thank gosh for this vision and listen to everyone, because like I said, it's not a good place to be. It's not where God wants me to be. So I think that's enough. And it's great to be on this meeting. Thank you all.
Well, thank you very much, Gary K. from California. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I have time for maybe one or two more shares. Who would like to share?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Costa Rica.
So I have Karen KZ, and if I have time, Robin, I will put you in there, okay?
Thank you.
Robin P. Okay, Karen KZ, you're up.
This is Karen KZ in Missouri, and thanks to everybody who's serving and everybody who's attending. I love these promises, and a lot of people have talked about not regretting the past and wishing to shut the door on it, and that's what the value is of my making my amends, because then I've taken responsibility for what I did, and then I have to let it go. I can't, like they say, we can't, the outcome of what the other person does with it, but I've taken responsibility and admitted the harm I did. So I really work hard on that, and I'm really, you know, there's a song that says, the past is over, it can touch me not. And it can only touch me if I keep going back to it. And that's, of course, one of the things as an addict that I do. I go back and I rehash and I rehash. But I want to talk about the next sentence. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. And that is one of the greatest gifts of this program for me. And the only reason I have that serenity and that peace is because as this program instructs, I admitted I was powerless, my life was unmanageable, there's a power greater than me that can and will restore me to sanity if and when and each time I turn my will and my life over to the care of that power. And that's what's transformed my life, is it's no longer me that's doing these wonderful things and having all these wonderful experiences. It's me recognizing how God is transforming me. And God is doing those wonderful things. And I am aware that it's God and not me that is doing these wonderful things. And I'm just in marvel every day at the joy and the happiness. Just a simple little thing like getting my car washed. I'm like a little kid jumping up and down. Somebody singing happy birthday to me. I'm like a little kid. I have so much joy and so much happiness. And the bottom line is, it's because God has taken over my life because I keep inviting God to. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Karen KZ from Missouri. And Robin P., I can, yeah, we can do 3 minutes. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I love the promises. And I can honestly say in my heart they have come true over these past 9 years working these steps. I feel like I'm going through a really hard time and not wanting to regret the past or shut the door on it. I'm wanting to make the right decision, and we're scheduled to leave Costa Rica on the 18th of this month, and we have these we've been fostering for 2 years, and there are so many homeless dogs here, and we have tried everything we can and have not found a home for them here, and we've even tried in the U.S., and there's someone who's interested there, and we'll see if that works out. Logistically getting them to him, it's just wow. So there's just, I feel like I have so much grief right now about fear of regretting and making a mistake. And I've done 10 steps on it. I've done pro-con lists. I've, you know, talked with my sponsor and other people and, you know, really two-way prayer and just taking all the actions I can. And I feel so powerless and so much. We're scheduled to be going to London for 6 months so I can sing again. And I'd start on Broadway when I was younger. And then I left that and became an inventor. And I really miss singing. And I believe that God wants me to sing again. That's my gift that I was given. And it feels like one of the hardest times I've been through in recovery. Just because I love these dogs and I don't want to hurt them. I want them to have a good life. And they came to us starving and full of mange and they're so happy. And I also want to do what I believe I'm supposed to do. And it's literally impossible to take them to London back and forth. So I just get to keep praying for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out and having faith in God and faith in myself. And just keep asking for prayer, and I know that there are 11th hour miracles that happen, so you know, I just got to keep having faith and, you know, staying in recovery and letting God have his will. So I'd be grateful for all your prayers, and thank you, Mo, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Robin P., and prayers are with you and your dogs. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your shares this morning. Let's see. We will now close the reading from the Big Book, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Dana P. please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Yes, it's always an honor to read this page 164. Don't even have to read it anymore. I have the thing memorized. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.